Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much for this opportunity. Again, this is about long-term yield trial. While we're looking at more to the crops rather than soil, but soil is really important in long-term field trials in Japan. I wanted to do this in the context of climate change as well. All right, background, as you all know, recent change in climate started to influence crop growth already. And long-term soil management, this strategy is very needed for sustainable growth under changing climate. And so for that sense, the long-term field trials are very, very important, the precious source of data. But soil fertility changes over time, CO2 concentration changes over time, temperature changes over the time. It's really difficult to just entangle single event, single factor, how that would affect the rice growth and yield. The systems approach are really needed to understand what's happening for this one. Nearly about 50 years of this long-term duration testing. So the objectives of this present talk is to quantify the effects of concurrent changes on soil and climate on grain yield of rice by harmonizing the long-term field trial and crop model. The location that I would like to introduce today is here, the northern part of Japan, a relatively cool for rice growth, 20-some degree for the rice growing season, relatively cool, but still is a major growing region in Japan. About 50 years ago, our institute, National Agriculture Food and Research Organization, started this long-term trial. And this is how it looks like. It was started in 1967. There are six different treatments. One just for NPK synthetic fertilizer and straws removal every year. Second one, no nitrogen, other fertilizer applied with removal of straw application every year. And 3 to 6 are the compost application with a different quantity from 10 to 40 ton per hectare. This has been done every year, basically with the same variety, Kiyonishiki. For the first 5 years, there were different varieties, but ever after that, the same variety has been used for more than 40 years. Basically the same management, same fertilizer quantities being applied for each plot measuring 40 square meter to replicate. That's really a precious source of the data set. This is how it looks like. This is probably a no-nitrogen plot, and this is a fertilized plot, and this has been continuously conducted. The model that we use is this one, the HH model, we call. This is one of the generic type crop growth model with a strong emphasis on nitrogen responses. And nitrogen is a major driver for rice growth, so I put and nitrogen as a major function for leaf growth, photosynthesis, and leaf area expansion, and final growth. And with the recently I introduced the FACA type CO2 photosynthesis, and to account for all the climate change event. The soil part is rather very simple, and I am assuming one inorganic nitrogen pool, and four components, four processes are involved in this nitrogen pool. One, of course, it's a nitrogen uptake that's taken out. The other one is nitrogen fertilizer input and nitrogen loss that includes denitrification and leaching, etc. The most important parameter here is soil mineralization. That's expressed as a function of temperature, like a first order rate equation. That's pretty generic type equation. So how I try to incorporate this compost effect is just very simple, like this. Compost application every year, continuously done for same quantity over years, that will affect apparently the soil side. The cumulative effect This continuous application of compost will enhance soil nitrogen concentration, and that will also ultimately increase this soil nitrogen mineralized potential. That's one. The other side of the effect is quantity of compost will directly have some effects on fertilization. So every year you add some nitrogen in the compost that will readily available for plants. So these two pathways are the ones we assume to influence the net soil nitrogen mineralization. Now, ideally, everything can be modeled and everything can be explained without doing any additional information. But in fact, there are lots of measurements taken over the years. This is the soil nitrogen, total nitrogen. This is an NPK plot as a reference. Over the years, there has been some degree of decrease in soil nitrogen here. But if you apply, this is the difference of the soil nitrogen in the different compost application, 10 ton per hectare, 20, 30, 40. And as you see from the years of start of the treatment, and you see some of the asymptotic response of soil nitrogen concentration. So soil nitrogen increases as a result of continuous application of compost. So this will enhance the mineralization. How? And this is the increase of soil nitrogen, total soil nitrogen. And this was not measured in this particular site. I borrowed from different sites in a similar soil type. And this is the increase in soil nitrogen, and this is the increase in mineralization potential. So if you can convert this total nitrogen increase in the soil, that can be converted to mineralizable nitrogen. So that's about 7% of this total nitrogen can be readily used for the mineralization. So this is the function I use to reproduce nitrogen mineralization over time as a result of continuous application of compost. But the climate, as you know, the CO2 for the past 50 years increased by 76 ppm, substantial, increased from 320 to nearly 400. Temperature over the 50 years, about 1 degree increase. And first practice I did on the simulation is to run the model with the soil as with this climate as it is, what happened. The second practice I did was to dismember these different the climate factors. Second one, I firstly detrended the CO2 increase, assuming that CO2 is constant over time. But temperature is still rising. So that's one. Another scenario is detrending CO2, no CO2 increase, and also I detrended this temperature increases over the 50 years, 1 degree. So it just looks like every year this variation like this. So these will give you the idea of how much CO2, how much temperature would affect. Here's what I did with this climate change as it is. CO2 raised, also the temperature rose. And the different colors indicate different treatments over 47 years. And this is the zero nitrogen, of course, it's the yield is, this is the yield, simulated and measured. Yield is low for zero nitrogen. As you increase an NPK and also compost, you have a greater yield. On your right-hand side is the biomass, more biomass and greater amount of compost. That's something we expect. RMSE-wise, it's not perfect, but it's nearly the range of about 10% of what we get from the yield and biomass. So I think that was an okay level to go ahead with this data. And this is the some examples of yield changes over time. On your left, and here's a zero nitrogen plot, no nitrogen over time. Surprisingly, there was no much reduction in yield over time. And yellow ones are the measured yield, and red ones are the simulated yields. And here's the zero nitrogen, here's NPK plots. The fertilizer just kept applying for over 50 years. If you go to the 20 ton per hectare compost treatment, of course the yield level increases and departs from the original, and then increases up to 800 grams per square meter. So that's something we expected. The model now fairly well capture this trend. So what I did next was to calculate this trend factor for observed and simulated. Here is the one. This is a bit busy, a complicated bar graph that are showing the trends of this draw a regression line and took out the slopes and then this like as it is. Okay. Zero nitrogen, NPK in 40 tons. And measured, it's all increased like this as the compost increased. And second one is CO2 rose and temperature rose. So you can compare these two as a validation of the model. I think these two are fairly well agreed. And third one here is without CO2 increase. So that means this difference can be thought of as a CO2 fertilization effect. And if you look at here, CO2 and temperature constant versus CO2 only constant gives you some idea of temperature effect. So the overall here is the effect of compost application. More than 10 ton application will result in this. So if you quantify this, if you take average, CO2 fertilization effect accounted for about 1.4 grams per square meter. Temperature effect is negative. So the climate-wise, climate effect is 0.7. But more than greater CO2 effect cancels this negative temperature effect. But this is not negligible. This is almost equivalent to 10 ton compost effect as well. So what I'm trying to show this is CO2 effect is not negligible. Of course, the compost application is important, but some of the very important parameters like CO2 temperature has been affecting all the growth. And to overcome some of the negative effect of temperature, we need some additional compost application. To summarize, the 40 years of long-term yield trials showed yield trends. Here, we didn't see negative trends. The positive trends are from 1.5 to 4.6 grams per square meter per year. Model was generally okay to express this. The climate effect is about 0.7 grams. Some cases it's quite large compared to this change. But this was a result of opposing effects. So CO2 positive, temperature negative. This was not negligible compared to this 10 ton application compost. The future research, this is a relatively cool region, so the temperature is expected to have positive effects, but in fact it wasn't. And there are many other areas we have these long-term field trials. Now we are looking ahead to extend this study to the different areas. This is cool regions to the warmer region to see how the future climate is going to affect the rice production in different places. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Thank you.
Questions?
Did you use any CO2 response data to validate your model or CO2 response?
Yes, we've been working on rice phase experiment for 20 years, and then this model was basically built on that the phase CO2 responses in field, in chamber and field.
Thank you. It's really a nice study you showed. What's the duration so far of these experiments, and how do you see this going forward for long term?
Okay, the longest one is 47 among this.
Yes.
But mostly just more than 30 years. But I think this is champion data. It's got all same variety for more than 40 years. But some areas they have different varieties. So we have to do something with the model that can account for the change of the varieties and some of the changes right, effect of management. But still, I think the similar soil type, I think we can do some of the cross site testing, and so that we have, this is around 20 degree over seasons, this can be like a 28 degree over the season, so you can have a range of different temperature and also the climate. So I would like to see some of the larger range of the climate effects.
More questions, please? Did you publish this work so far?
No.
Okay. Do you plan to do that?
Yes.
Good. Well, that'll be interesting to read and study it. So let's give a thank again.
Thank you very much.
So the next speaker, who was scheduled for 10 o'clock, has cancelled the presentation, so we have a few minutes break, and because we have to run the session according to schedule, we cannot continue and save up time on discussion also. We cannot start our presentation of Dr. Deborah Eller before 10:15. So until that time, we have 10 minutes for taking a brief break. I want to remind you again, this afternoon, 3 o'clock to 3:15, in this room, we have our community meeting. Be there. And also, we are seeking your input for suggestions for our program next year. It is now a very good time to plan what we want to see and have next year. We have about a month for planning the program for next year, and by early December, we and our community need to submit to the society our suggestions for the program. So it is your input that counts for the program planning. So please have some impact there. So now we will continue this session at 10:15. Thank you.